Australian governments combined spent $11.6 billion in the last budget papers subsidising fossil fuels, so subsidising the thing that contributes to climate change. They actually spent 56 times the budget of the National Recovery and Resilience Agency in that same budget year. So we're really funding the wrong things. We're funding fossil fuels far and above the tune that we're subsidising and allocating money to disaster prevention and disaster recovery.
By 50 times.
One for mum, one for dad, and one for the country.
And there has never been a more exciting time to be an Australian.
Budgets are about choices, and you show what you value through the choices you make.
Dead, buried, cremated.
This is coal. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared.
The treasurer.
Australia's basically done for. We'll just end up being a third-rate economy.
How good is Australia?
Just follow the money.
G'day, and welcome to Follow the Money, the Australia Institute's podcast demystifying the big economic issues in Australia and putting them in plain English. I'm Ebony Bennett, Deputy Director at the Australia Institute, and today we are going to talk about subsidies to the fossil fuel industry in Australia. That is the amount of public money that subsidises oil, gas and coal in Australia in the last financial year. Australia has committed to reach net zero emissions by 2050, and the United Nations Secretary General recently said that it's time to accelerate the phase out of coal and end fossil fuel subsidies to stop the expansion of coal, oil and gas exploration.
Well, housing and cost of living will be big features in the federal budget, which the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, is unveiling tonight.
A new report from the Australia Institute shows that over $10 billion in government subsidies were given to coal, oil and gas companies and other major users of fossil fuels.
This pays money on fossil fuel subsidies, and the financial year isn't even over.
Scott Morrison, also with a foot on the gas, using public money to build a natural gas-fired power station.
And the fuel excise to be cut by between 10 and 20 cents a litre for 6 months, putting most petrol prices back below $2 a litre.
If you want to stop global warming, we need to go to the source, the G20. It's time to end fossil fuel subsidies and stop the expansion of oil and gas exploration.
Our top story this morning, evacuation orders have been issued for residents of flood-ravaged Lismore as flash flooding threatens the area.
We're on the eve of a federal budget, and joining me to discuss the results of the Australia Institute's recent report detailing the amount of public subsidies going to fossil fuels are the report authors Alia Armistead from our Climate and Energy Program, Rod Campbell, our Research Director, and Eliza Littleton, Research Economist. G'day, Alia, Rod and Eliza. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ebony.
Hi, Eb.
Hey, Eb.
Alia, I'll start with you. Let's start with the big overall figure that everyone is interested in. How much exactly does Australia spend every year subsidising fossil fuels?
So Australian governments in the last round of budget papers subsidised fossil fuels to the tune of $11.6 billion. That is an increase from the previous year. It's an increase of $1.3 billion, and that's equivalent to more than $22,000 every minute of every year.
$22,000 every minute of the last year.
That's right. It's an increase of 12% from our last fossil fuel subsidies paper, which came out in 2021. So from the last year, Australian governments increased their fossil fuel subsidies by 12% collectively.
12%, that's a bigger pay rise than most workers got in the last year. So that's a pretty big jump compared to last year. Was that a bit shocking, 12%?
I think the most shocking thing actually is that some states decreased their funding over that period. And so that decrease has actually been overtaken by federal government subsidies. So the Australian government quadrupled their fossil fuel subsidies between the last rounds of budget papers. So they increased their fossil fuel subsidies from $266 million to $1.16 billion.
That's pretty massive.
It is pretty massive.
Quadrupled.
Yep.
That's a bit of a disaster for the climate. Rod, that's just a huge amount of money, more than $11 billion, up from more than $10 billion last year. That's just a huge amount of money to be and public money to be spending on fossil fuels. How does that compare to what governments spend on other sectors and services?
Yeah, it's a lot of money, and the budget papers include a handy table.
So helpful.
Include a handy table of its top 20 biggest expenses. And the biggest fossil fuel subsidy in the federal government budget is the fuel tax credit scheme and the giving back of fuel taxes to certain users, most notably the mining industry, and within that, most notably the coal industry.
It's mostly through the federal diesel fuel rebate and works out to be $19,686 in handouts every minute.
Before we dig into that, can you just explain to people what that subsidy is?
Yeah. So if you jump in your car and drive to work and look after your family and do productive things, then you're paying fuel tax. Whereas if you're a coal mine, the government gives you that tax back. So for some reason, coal miners aren't required to pay the fuel tax that you and I have to. And because that's providing a financial advantage to one sector as opposed to another, that's considered by most definitions to be a subsidy.
And how much do we spend on that?
Yeah, this is the big ticket item. It's not so much that we spend on it, but it costs taxpayers money by not collecting that tax. And that costs the federal government budget $8.07 billion, or that was the figure in the current budget year, in 2021-22. And so that comes in as the 16th largest cost in the federal budget. And that's more that we spend on the Army, a similar amount we spend on the Air Force. So the big subsidy is one of the biggest costs to the federal government budget, bar nothing. And, you know, I think that's a pretty big concern.
The government is now under pressure to cut fuel excise to give everyday motorists a break.
The 44 cents a litre federal fuel tax will be temporarily trimmed.
Fuel excise will be cut in half. For the next 6 months, Australians will save 22 cents a litre every time they fill up.
Just sticking with that fuel tax credit for a minute, can you just explain to our listeners what that is and why it's actually a subsidy?
This is actually kind of topical at the moment because we've had an announcement that the government is probably going to give us all a discount on the fuel excise, which is the tax that we pay on fuel at the bowser. This fuel tax credit is actually related to that. So certain industries that use machinery and vehicles, particularly if they're off-road vehicles, actually get a refund on the fuel excise that they pay. So it's a discount on the fuel excise that they pay via this fuel tax credit.
So if I'm driving to work and I've filled up my car with petrol today, I don't get this credit, but if I'm driving a coal truck or I work for a coal mining company, they get the discount.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the rebate. What is it?
It's a credit.
A credit.
A fuel tax credit. Yeah. But it does work a little bit like a rebate. They get a refund on the tax that they've paid on the fuel they use.
Rod, beyond tax concessions, how does the government subsidise the fossil fuel industry overall?
Oh, all kinds of fun ways. And I think just tying together a couple of the topics we've been talking about, I mean, Alia was talking about the big increase in fossil fuel subsidies over the last year, and Eliza and I were just talking about the fuel tax credit scheme, which is the biggest subsidy. But what's interesting is the biggest subsidy has not driven the biggest increase. So the big increases between this year and last year have been federal government spending on things like a new gas-fired power station in the Hunter Valley, new investment in coal railways in the Hunter Valley, $170 million to build roads for the fracking industry in the Northern Territory, and a nice big subsidised loan to a coal mine in Queensland. So, yeah, there's a whole range of different ways in addition to the fuel tax breaks that we've been talking about, and all of them are outlined in our report at a good bookshop near you, or at least on our website.
Yeah, which you can find at australiainstitute.org.au. Eliza, coming back to you, Rod's talked there about the increase and in some of the direct subsidies, I guess, that the federal government is providing. What's happened to state government subsidies over the last year?
Yeah, there's been a really interesting trend in state governments this year. So Queensland is still the state making the biggest contribution to the fossil fuel industry. But their assistance this year compared to last year has actually decreased by 20%. A large part of this is due to the fact that they're not making or they're not giving COVID-based concessions to their fossil fuel industry anymore. Another similarity to last year is that Tasmania and the ACT did not have any identifiable fossil fuel subsidies. So it's possible that there are little things here and there, but we just couldn't find them by going through the budget papers. But the biggest difference this year is the increases in three states, so Northern Territory, South Australia and New South Wales. So in the NT and South Australia, the increase is fairly minimal and has primarily been driven by infrastructure provisions and payments to the fossil fuel export facilities. The biggest increase in subsidies has been in New South Wales, where subsidies grew from 16 million last year, last report, to 92 million this report, so five times bigger.
That's a pretty big jump. Is that for anything specific, or it's just kind of across the board?
It's a little bit across the board, but one of the main things that they've contributed to is actually a joint venture with the federal government to expand the Tallawarra gas-fired power station. This is a new, it's part of the gas-led recovery that the federal government loved to spruik. They're basically expanding developing a new gas station in the Illawarra.
Okay, one that I gather we don't really need.
We need to keep the lights on.
This is all about getting the reliability into the system.
Complementary role of gas with solar and wind is extremely important as we reduce emissions and strengthen our economy.
This government-funded gas project has been unveiled just as a global independent report has warned against such spending. The International Energy Agency finding investment in fossil fuel technology around the world would need to stop in order to reach the 2050 net zero target.
Alia, all of this is the complete opposite of what we know is required to meet the climate crisis and immediately start reducing emissions. How much of a problem is this, and how does Australia's subsidies compare to kind of what the rest of the world is doing?
Yeah, so subsidising fossil fuels is a huge problem. As our chief economist, Richard Dennis, loves to say, we fund the things that we want to incentivise and we don't fund the things that we don't want to incentivise. And by subsidising fossil fuels, we're really subsidising the problem, which is fossil fuels contributing to climate change. And we know all the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change research and research from the International Energy Agency says that we really need to reduce and stop fossil fuel production and consumption as soon as possible if we're going to prevent catastrophic climate change. And this transition is just not going to happen if we keep making it cheap for these industries to keep their ongoing practices, and if we make it cheap for people to keep using fossil fuels as their energy source.
And we did this report last year and we were spending more than $10 billion last year. Fossil fuel subsidies have increased. We're not just doing the wrong thing. We're putting our foot on the accelerator doing the wrong thing. We're actually getting worse when the United Nations and other countries, you know, it's not that long since we had the last COP in Glasgow, where there was a real emphasis on trying to end fossil fuel subsidies and kind of phase out coal. And Australia, we're kind of heading totally in the opposite direction with our foot on the accelerator.
Yeah, we are. We're heading in completely the opposite direction. And to put this kind of this headline figure into context, we know that Queensland and New South Wales are experiencing terrible floods at the moment, and that climate change is in some ways fueling those kinds of devastating climate impacts for communities. And so Australian governments combined spent $11.6 billion in the last budget papers subsidising fossil fuels, so subsidising the thing that contributes to climate change. They actually spent 56 times the budget of the National Recovery and Resilience Agency in that same budget year. So we're really funding the wrong things. We're funding fossil fuels far and above the tune that we're subsidizing and allocating money to disaster prevention and disaster recovery.
By 50 times.
Can I look on the bright side for a second, Eb?
Oh, yeah.
The bright side of these large and obvious and in some cases by the federal government proud fossil fuel subsidies is that it's largely ended the debate over the existence of fossil fuel subsidies. When Australia Institute first put out a version of this report in 2014, it was met with howls of protest from the mining industry and various industry lobby groups. They commissioned their own reports, all screaming blue murder and swearing black and blue that there was no such thing as a subsidy to the wider mining industry or fossil fuel industries in particular.
Well, I don't accept the facts that were put in the question. There's no subsidisation of Australia's fossil fuel industries, and we have a
buy. And when it comes to the diesel fuel rebate, if they're seriously suggesting that fixed and stationary diesel engines shouldn't be entitled to a rebate on what is effectively a tax on road use, well, I just think that's a nonsense.
And at least now that debate doesn't seem to exist anymore. So, you know, on the bright side, at least we're able to talk about this, even if it's getting worse year on year.
Yeah. And Rod, we are on the eve of the budget, as Eliza alluded to. We'll be expecting perhaps a cut or a pause or something to do with the fuel excise in the budget. But I mean, based just on this year and last year with an increase in fossil fuel subsidies, what are we expecting out of the budget and what are we expecting to happen long term with Australian government subsidies for fossil fuels?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting, of course, to see what tweaks occur in this budget. But, of course, budget documents don't just talk about the 1 year. They talk about usually over forward estimates, a period of 4 years and sometimes longer. And so we also included in our report an estimate of all the fossil fuel spending that's baked into budgets, that's already committed to over the forward estimates or over the life of projects. And, you know, the depressing news is that there's $55.3 billion already baked in. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what tweaks are made to fuel excise or more gas-fired recovery spending and that kind of thing. But, yeah, there's already $55.3 billion baked into the federal and state government budgets. So, yeah, what happens tonight is interesting but a little bit trivial in regards to that more longer-term picture.
It's just, if you think about it in those terms, so a reminder for people who don't read budget papers as closely as you, Rod, the forward estimates, is that about 4 years? Is that right?
Yeah, it's usually 4 years.
So looking ahead over the next 4 years, there's $55 billion already committed. It's baked in to budgets. We're spending that money that's in the budget papers that's already been announced, basically.
Yeah, and so that averages out at about a bit over $13 billion a year. So, you know, you're looking at steady growth from what we found in the last 12 months. Good times.
It's Christmas for the Coalition with Treasurer Josh Frydenberg to splash the cash tonight when he hands down his fourth budget in a bid to win over voters ahead of the upcoming federal election.
So, Eliza, I want to come back to you because I know every year or in fact, whenever the Australia Institute puts out these types of reports, the mining industry kind of always argues either that they're not really subsidies, to Rod's point earlier, or that they shouldn't be counted as such because, you know, they're not public roads that they're using and other things like that. So just talk to me about why we've included what we have in this report as subsidies.
Yeah, so the people that usually make that argument will say that the fuel excise is collected, or this tax is collected on fuel, because this money is then used to maintain public roads. But that's kind of a misrepresentation of how tax revenue is collected and spent. So we don't actually have a hypothecated system. So tax revenue is collected, it's put in a general pool and then used and distributed to all the different ways that we spend.
So it's not like the fuel excise, we pay it at the bowser and then it goes into this special little kitty of like road funding.
Exactly. And the reason that we've decided to classify this as a subsidy is because actually this tax break incentivizes the use of fossil fuels by these industries because it makes fossil fuels cheaper for energy intensive businesses, which means it's creating a barrier to innovation for the industry. So they don't have an incentive to then go and try and find cleaner energy ways to
conduct their business.
Conduct their business.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Okay.
If I could just also jump in on the we don't use the public roads, so we shouldn't have to pay fuel tax. I mean, since when do taxpayers get to choose which taxes they pay and which services they use and the relationship between them? I mean, I didn't use an aged care facility last year, but I don't run around objecting to paying GST. So I just think it's a complete misrepresentation of the system that we live in by the mining industry. What a surprise.
And Rod, earlier you were talking about building roads for the fracking industry in the Northern Territory. But, you know, this isn't just the fuel tax credit, as you've pointed out. There's other subsidies for things like infrastructure. What do those kinds of subsidies involve?
Yeah, so governments spend money on ports, particularly in Queensland, big coal and gas ports, railways. I think we talked a little bit about the coal railways in the Hunter Valley. And in Darwin, there's a ship lift project. And a lot of the time, this infrastructure is going to be used by fossil fuel companies and sometimes by other industries as well. So we alter the classification of them in our reports. And a lot of the time, you know, we've had people comment in the past that infrastructure spending then often has user charges paid to it. But I think the reason why it is legitimate to include this as a subsidy is that governments are taking on all the risk. They're paying the money up front, and the fact that some money might come along later on doesn't change the fact that there is an opportunity cost there for governments. And that's in fact the words of Queensland Treasury saying that there is an opportunity cost for governments in building infrastructure for the mining industry. Specifically, the more infrastructure that they build for the mining industry, the less they can spend on schools and hospitals. The words of Queensland Treasury, not the Australia Institute.
I'll certainly take them at their word.
As part of the Coalition's underwriting guarantee, it'll help two new projects secure private funding, a 220-megawatt gas generator in Dandenong, Victoria, capable of powering 50,000 homes, and a 132-megawatt gas generator in Gatton, Queensland.
An announcement coming up later today, it's about hydrogen and carbon capture storage, total of about $500 million.
And that helps you get both reliable power that keeps the lights on and more affordable power.
Alia, this year it seems like there was a fair bit of subsidies in this report identified as support for hydrogen. The government likes to talk a lot about clean hydrogen. Why is this included in the fossil fuel subsidies report?
A lot of the funding and the increase in funding between the last 2 years from the federal government is federal spending on what they call low emissions technologies, which is quite disingenuous because a lot of this funding goes to hydrogen and to carbon capture and storage. And we've therefore included that funding in this report. So funding for hydrogen is mostly not specified as renewable hydrogen by the federal government. It's what they refer to as clean hydrogen, which is hydrogen that can be produced from fossil fuels, which is actually more energy intensive to do so than if you just burned that fuel directly in the first place. And the other part of it is carbon capture and storage, which for one thing, very rarely works, but also is used as a justification for expanding fossil fuel industries and particular for expanding gas.
And listeners, if you haven't caught up with our Dirty Hydrogen and Dodgy Offsets episode, that was, I think, the last episode that we released. So if you're curious about the Australian government's definition of clean hydrogen, which is actually dirty hydrogen, you should check out that episode. Rod, I want to come back to you. Alia earlier was talking about how Australia compares internationally. with our efforts to reduce emissions and why fossil fuel subsidies are so concerning. But how do our results on, you know, the amount of subsidies that Australia is giving to the fossil fuel industry compared to what other organisations internationally have identified in Australia?
Yeah, so our results are quite similar to results that the OECD have published, which is perhaps not entirely surprising, as the OECD do reference one of our reports in their methodology discussions, and we're using the same sources. You know, all of this is based on government budget documents, so our estimates are quite similar to the OECD, which is of course led by former Finance Minister Matthias Cormann. And in fact, our estimates are considerably lower than the International Monetary Fund, which takes quite a different approach in its assessment of fossil fuel subsidies, because it includes a lot of environmental costs, impacts on climate change, impacts on health from air quality issues. Yeah, there's quite a lot of discussion of fossil fuel subsidies out there. You know, as I said, at least we're not debating whether or not they exist. And there are different methodologies out there, but I would say we're at least in the same ballpark as the IMF and the OECD. So, you know, they must be doing something right.
And Rod, just to finish up, I know you've been greatly distressed by what's happening in the Northern Territory. Tell me why you've been so concerned about subsidies there.
Yeah, I think this one flies under the radar, and it really should be widely discussed in the Territory, if not in the country. I mean, it's not well known that the Northern Territory government is in fact a gas trading entity that earns around $250 million a year selling gas. Despite such high revenues, it usually loses money. But the NT government has committed billions, initially $4 billion, I think they've still got about $2.5 billion to go, to buying gas from an offshore gas project owned by a multinational oil and gas company. I mean, imagine you're starting a pizza shop in Darwin and the NT government committed to buying $4 billion worth of pizzas from you. You know, your business outlook would suddenly be pretty good. And that's effectively what the NT government has done to the Blacktip gas project owned by the Italian company ENI. And not only does this cheapen fossil fuels, come at the expense of the taxpayer, but the problem is, by becoming a gas trading enterprise, the Northern Territory government is completely conflicted when it comes to assessing and developing policy around renewable energy in the territory. It's against the direct interests of the territory government to have a transition to renewable energy. And, you know, I think that's a disaster for governance as well as taxpayers and the climate.
Well, we might have to wrap it up there. Thank you very much, Rod, Eliza and Alia. This episode was recorded on Tuesday, the 29th of March, 2022, prior to the federal budget, and things may have changed since recording. You can visit australiainstitute.org.au for all our latest research and content, including this latest report on fossil fuel subsidies in Australia. And we're on Twitter at the Oz Institute with an AUS. My Twitter handle is ebony_Bennett with a double NTT. Rod Campbell is at r_o_d_c. Alia Armistead is at Alia Armistead. And Eliza Littleton is at Eliza Littleton. This episode was produced by Jennifer Macy, and you can find her at Jennifer Macy, and it was edited by Louise Osborne. Our theme music is by Jonathan McFeet from Pulse and Thrum, with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Don't forget to leave us a review if you enjoy the podcast, because it helps other people to find us. Stay safe out there, and thanks for listening.